Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire. On today's program, Charles Walter, director of the Mayborn Natural Science and Cultural Museum Complex. Hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This program was recorded July 5th, 2017 in the KWBU studio.
Charles Walter, welcome to Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, and you have just returned from your first vacation in 2 years. And for you to come over here and to talk to me before you have to tackle 1,000 emails really is a big deal. I am very grateful to you for joining us. And as I always do, I want to talk to you a little bit. You're the director of the Mayborn Natural Science and Cultural Museum Complex. Is that all on your business card?
No, it just simply says the Mayborn Museum, which I love.
Yeah, I love that too. I always want to know about a person's early days. What is your hometown?
I was born actually in Buffalo, New York, but I moved to Fort Worth when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost qualified to be a Texan.
I think so.
I've been here for over 50 years now.
Well, that's great. And let's talk a little bit about anyone who started you on your path to leadership.
Well, the interesting thing, of course, my parents enrolled me at an early age in museum classes in Fort Worth. And I actually have a fossil at my house I collected in fifth grade in a museum class. So I've always been interested, and they got me interested in museums early on. And then as I grew and developed, I knew museums was something I wanted to pursue. And a combination of professors, both at SMU and Texas A&M, and then the first individuals who hired me into the museum world and gave me opportunities. So it had to be those earliest mentors from the museum, in particular a gentleman, Don Otto. He was the director of the museum in Fort Worth. He gave me opportunities, and I ran with those opportunities, and it helped me develop my leadership. And I think that was key. How do you give people opportunities to step up? Mm-hmm. And then if they step up and show leadership, and eventually they hired me to be the first visitor service manager at the museum in Fort Worth. And that's right after the Omni Theater started, which was the first IMAX theater in the whole state of Texas. So the attendance doubled, and the museum was in shock of all this attendance. And so they wanted somebody to come in and just do some basic management. And that's what I did. I was working on an MBA at the time. And again, an early mentor was Wayne Stark at the Memorial Student Center at Texas A&M. And Mr. Stark gave everybody the same advice. I don't care whether you're an engineer or a biologist or a psychologist. He'd say, you know what you should do with that? Combine it with an MBA, because then you'll be able to run one of these organizations one day. Well, it just made sense to me. He sat me down one day. I knew that advice was coming. I knew that I needed to support a family long term. And I said, well, let me combine my interest with an undergraduate degree in wildlife biology / museums from Texas A&M. Then I combined it with an MBA, and that allowed me to get my start in the museum world. And frankly, just bringing some of those basic practices of management to the museum were a very strong skill set. The museum's full of wonderful curators, educators, but just combining those in a way to be effective is sometimes challenging, and that's what I was able to do.
How did you get so interested you found the fossil?
Yes. Well, you know, I do remember a particular science class in sixth grade, and the science professor or science teacher gave us opportunities to explore. And I just remember being successful at that and being energized by learning about science. And he really promoted that. And that tracked into high school, where I ended up doing the science fair, took advanced mm-hmm. science, did the science fair, got a third place in science fair, became the president of the local environmental / science club, and just got started that way. I think my first leadership positions were all volunteer. Mm-hmm. I volunteered in high school to do things. I volunteered at Texas A&M to be a student leader in the Memorial Student Center. And those were where I got my start. And I realized that organizing people and organizing programs was important, and it's something I could do. And I remember preparing my first budget for a museum, and I frankly used the skills I learned as a volunteer in the Memorial Student Center at Texas A&M, and people looked at my budget and said, "We've never seen a budget so detailed." And I said, "Okay, well, let's run with it."
That is a great story, because I think you do, I've said it before, bring everything from every job and experience as you move forward. And I picked up on some of the information about you that you use the word passion for museums. And I think that you've landed in the right place at the Mayburn Complex, because it takes a lot of passion to pull everything together. And we were talking before, I remember the days before the Mayburn was built, and I was the ready-to-learn coordinator, and we had a ready-to-learn room there. And then television went away in 2010, but I spent a lot of time in that ready-to-learn room and in that museum, and there was, at that time, and I know it's a constant challenge for the children's area, just the wear and tear of thousands of little feet running through that museum, walking and running and doing all those activities that are so wonderful, but it costs to keep them up, and you have to have a lot of people to oversee to keep it working.
Absolutely, and I think to amplify that comment, a number of years ago, the Disney Company tried to start a series of children's museums, and they were called Club Disneys. And they were basic children's museum exhibits, many of which you can find at the Mayburn, and they just put Mickey Mouse ears on them and said, "Look, it's Club Disney. Come join us." And we were a little bit scared in the museum world, because we know Disney does a lot of things really well, and they're a big company. Well, they did that for 5 years, and then they got out of the business. And I eventually asked one of the executives at Disney, you know, what happened. And he just very gruffly told me, "Well, it didn't pencil," which means they couldn't make a profit on it. Well, they were a for-profit company, and that speaks to how hard it is to do the things you mentioned, to keep these hands-on exhibits maintained and working, and at the same time presenting educational programs that are significant to children, that are all about firsthand learning and to keep that quality high. So those are things that museums do and hold true, and that's why, you know, museums wouldn't survive without community support, because if we could, Disney would be in our business and they'd be making a profit. No, you cannot do that, mm-hmm. to do things at the quality and at the level that we do. And that's why that's how museums are successful, because they serve their community, they provide those rich experiences, and there are people in the community who value that and add funding to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I just hope everyone listening out there who's gone through the museum will hear this wonderful description about the difference and what a gem we have in the Mayburn Complex, not just the children's area, but the train. I think that's the train is for everyone of all ages.
Absolutely.
And other exhibits that you have. But let's talk a little, let's go back and talk some more about your journey to the Mayburn. Was the Fort Worth Museum, was that your first stop in your museum journey?
It was. Just an interesting story about how some things happen. I was actually at SMU working as the assistant director of the Student Center, and I took a group of SMU students to Yellowstone, a place I love, and I was always involved in outdoor programs, and I wanted to introduce these students to that. And while I was there, I saw this amazing exhibit called Wolves and Humans. And as a wildlife biology student, I walked in and expected to see all the natural history of the wolf. And I did, you know, the life cycle, the hunting, the range. But then there was a whole other section of the exhibit, which was about the psychology of humans and how they think about wolves and how politics gets involved with managing this species, and even things like folklore and how folklore and the big bad wolf have come into the mindset of people as they think about this animal. So I realized at that point there's this whole other area. And I said, who built this exhibit? I've got to bring this exhibit to Fort Worth or Dallas. And they gave me the name of the museum. It was the Science Museum of Minnesota. I wrote a letter, dear director, and I said, and I sent it up to Minnesota. And probably about 6 months later, I was sitting in the director of the Fort Worth Museum's office interviewing for a job that had just come open. And I told him that story, and he said, oh, yes, I know. The director in Minnesota sent me a copy of that letter. So the museum world is extremely small, but the kinds of things that we can do and bring to this country or to our communities, even the country in some cases, are things that communities would never get to see. So I learned then how small this group was nationally. I stepped into my first role. I think just my passion for natural history came out, and that's why I wrote the letter to the director. But I also learned that it's not just about natural history. It's also about community, politics, all these things that come into play in learning and making decisions. And so I've been able to approach most of my exhibit projects that way.
Fascinating. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Charles Walter, director of the Mayburn Museum. And it seems like one of your first jobs was the customer service job you've mentioned earlier. Did you have an idea in your mind about what customer service should be?
In general, yes. I mean, and really, I felt like people's leisure time, I've always known people's leisure time is their most valuable time. And if they're going to spend it with me, no matter where I am, I should really help them have the highest quality experience. So just that idea that when people come to the museum, you should put a smile on their face, you should show them things that amaze them, you should make sure they have a good time, knowing that it's a family visit, it's just not individuals, and how do you have exhibits that speak to children and adults? So absolutely, and I've always taken that really with every position I had. And I have to say, I taught my first class in the museum studies department here, and it was museum administration. That's what I've been doing for 30 years. And some of the students commented to me, they said, I never thought of a museum as a business before. And now I understand more about what makes museums work. Because if we're not presenting educational programs at a high level of quality, people may choose to go somewhere else. So we need to do that. And then on top of that, I think in recent years, more and more museums are stressing being a part of the community. So it's not just about what happens underneath the roof of the Mayburn Museum. It's also what our staff are doing in the community. And we've started some new things at the Mayburn in the community.
That is great. And then from Fort Worth, you went to New Mexico. Tell us about that.
Well, I tell you, I was in Fort Worth for 25 years, and the last 5 years in Fort Worth, we built the brand new Fort Worth Museum of Science and History. It's a Ricardo Legarreta building with great exhibits, great partnerships that helped put it together. But after that, I was pretty tired, and I was thinking about, okay, well, we need to learn how to run this new museum. Well, just at that time, I started getting a number of calls from individuals who said, Charlie, would you consider coming out here and helping us? And at the same time, my youngest child, I have four children, and my youngest child had just gone away to college. So we didn't have the family at the house to keep, you know, in this stable environment anymore. I could think about going out because all the children were doing their own thing now. So I looked at three different opportunities, and I walked into the museum, the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, took a tour, met the staff, and I called my wife that night, and I said, yeah, this is where I'm going to work. And I didn't have the job yet. I'd only met some of the people, but I just had the feeling that, you know, the people I met and the things that I saw fit me really, really well. So I spent 3 years in New Mexico, and I absolutely loved it. I joked with my friends from the Perot Museum. They'd fly out and visit me and talk about exhibits. And I'd say, yeah, you Perot Museum with your $190 million building. what are you surrounded by?
Yeah.
I said, let me take you 20 minutes up into the Sandia Mountains, and I'll show you our Natural History Center, and I'll show you the pictures of the mountain lions and the bears and the bobcats that come to the springs where we take school children every day. I said, natural history is really synonymous with New Mexico. So I absolutely loved it. I worked there for 3 years, but then guess what? I started having grandchildren back in Texas, and the pull was very great, and I knew I needed to come back home.
I could relate to that completely. Where in what city in New Mexico is that museum located?
It was in Albuquerque. So I was in Albuquerque,
right.
And it was part of the state's cultural affairs department, which is based in Santa Fe. So probably twice a month I'd be up in Santa Fe working at the roundhouse up there, talking to my supervisor, who's the Secretary of Cultural Affairs. And so I worked with 9 museums, 8 historic sites, the state library, and just being over the cultural and working with these amazing colleagues that really had to do with preserving the culture of New Mexico, it was just an outstanding opportunity.
Well, it certainly sounds that way. But then you, the call of grandchildren or whatever, you brought you back to Texas, to San Antonio, a marvelous place to be. And actually, I visited the museum before they had the new museum when my grandson was about 2. And it was pretty amazing then, but I can not even imagine what it must have turned into when you went there. And did you build a new facility there?
We did. And I had met a colleague at a national conference and through a national leadership program. And I met a colleague who was heading up that project in San Antonio. And she was telling me she was looking for some help, some experienced help. And I told her I'd keep it in mind and recommend some people to her. And I did. But then when my wife and I started talking about grandkids, moving back to Texas, I said, you know, there's a project in San Antonio that may still need some help. Let me check it out. So I sent an email to my colleague, Vanessa Hurd, who was the director down there. And she was the visionary behind it. But she just needed a strong person to come in and help produce it and get it open. I walked down there, or I flew down there, saw what they were doing and what they were all about, and this is what I helped create. It's a STEM-focused children's museum. It's all about science, technology, engineering, math. Matter of fact, one of their best exhibits is called Spy Academy. And after you complete certain missions, you end up learning a code to go into the Master Agent Training Headquarters. And the acronym for that is math. but nobody knows it. You don't call an exhibit math because people will run away. But becoming a spy is different. And people love that exhibit. So it was there while I was helping them get ready to open that. I was there for 8 or 9 months. Then I got a call from a search firm about this position in Baylor. And I said, no, you know, I've just committed to come here. I'm going to open this new museum. And thank you so much. And probably a week or two later, they called back and said, well, why don't you come just interview? Because, you know, if it's something you really like and Baylor really likes, maybe they'll wait for you. And I said, okay. So I came up, and it was a 2-day interview here, longest interview I've ever had. And I met people all across campus. But I loved every single aspect of what I saw here. And when I saw the Mayborn and really saw what it encompassed, it just kind of blew me away. And it's something you said earlier is totally true. The idea of bringing all your past here, well, it's at a university, and I love working. And my first job out of college was in the Memorial Student Center and then at the Student Center at SMU. So I've always loved being on college campuses. So here I have Baylor. I spent 2 seasons working for the National Park Service. Well, our partnership with Waco Mammoth National Monument, and I have that. I've been on the board of the Association of Children's Museum, and we have that whole children's museum wing. I love natural history, and so that came into play. So it seems like this was just a perfect place for me. And I did ask the search committee here. I said, well, I really, you know, if this is something that will work out, I need to open this museum in San Antonio, and it's another month before it opens. And then I want to stay 2 more months because I committed to help open it successfully. And they said, absolutely, we don't want you to burn any bridges. And I was just so thankful. And it let me know a lot about the Baylor culture right there and then. So I did help open the museum. In the first 3 months in the new museum, we had the same attendance as the previous year. So it has been wildly successful, and I highly recommend anybody in San Antonio. And it's actually called now, it used to be called the San Antonio Children's Museum. Well, now it's called the Doozium because it's all about learning by doing. And it's a spectacular facility.
Is it still downtown?
It is. It's not right downtown. It's near the it's on Broadway, mm-hmm. near the Whitty Museum and the zoo. So it moved maybe about a mile out of downtown, and it's just an incredible facility. And the staff there is wonderful, and they're doing great work.
Well, that is very uplifting to hear. I love success stories. But now that you've spent 2 years here, do you have any observation? You mentioned it a little bit about your relationship with the Waco McLennan County. Talk about some of the things that you've been thinking, either implementing, thinking about, or dreaming about.
Absolutely. I'll mention that my first community meeting here is I went to one of the community forums that Prosper Waco was sponsoring, and this is 2 years ago when they were just getting started. But I learned all about community impact or collective impact, the idea of collective impact, through a program I participated in called the Noyce Leadership Institute. Mm-hmm. And it was an institute that accepted about 15 people once a year, and you went through this year-long program, and it was all about science museums, and it was a cadre of national leaders, and you studied how can a museum be more effective in a community? And we learned about collective impact. So when I got here, I learned about Prosper Waco. I went to one of their community meetings. I met Matthew, I met a number of the staff there, and then immediately started talking about, well, how can this museum, with all these wonderful resources, support the work? Because Prosper Waco's identified the people of most need in our community. So if we can connect and support that work, we're doing some really important work to the community. So we've started in partnership with them. We started some family science nights. We also hosted some interns. We helped them launch their Vroom app for early learners, and we're continuing on with conversations. I worked with Brittany, one of their staff members, and we submitted two grants towards the end of last year, one to the National Science Foundation, one to the Institute of Museum Library Services, trying to bring in resources so we can do more in the community together around really STEM education. A lot of my passion is around science, technology, math, but 25 years at the Fort Worth Museum of Science and History gave me also a great understanding and love for the history part of our business. But that's just one example, working with Prosper Waco. I'm now the president of the Waco Mammoth Foundation. I'm the president of the Museum Association of Waco. I'm on the board of the Brazos Forum. I'm in Rotary, Waco Rotary Club. And I just believe in being out in the community and looking at that, because I very strongly believe in a systems approach to managing and leading. Well, that's not just a systems approach within the museum. It's also within the community. So if I'm not out in the community learning and meeting people, I'm not doing my job. And I also have come to believe very passionately in my work that our best work is through partnerships. You partner with people and you create win-win situations, and it creates a stronger community, creates a stronger infrastructure for education, which is fundamentally we're an educational institution. My staff are also beginning to get out into the community more and do that work.
Well, I think you can understand that the vision of a child like yourself who saw a fossil, who is a low-income maybe family, if they can be fed into the museum and have those kind of experiences, that can be life-changing. Things, small things in life where you suddenly realize there's a bigger world.
Absolutely. You mentioned that community, the community room, lifelong learning room, community learning room at the Mayborn. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, Dr. Sandy Cooper from our education staff at Baylor is working with low-income kiddos in a summer math camp. They did it last year, and the kiddos just enjoyed it. They learned new language. Their parents said they're talking more. They're more outgoing. You could just see them grow. Well, guess what? Sandy came back this summer and said, well, we did one last summer. We want to do three this summer. So there's now three of these camps being sponsored through the Department of Education here at Baylor. Again, the kids that are most at need. But just having it in the museum just puts a smile on their face. And Sandy told me, I think last year, one little girl said, this is my museum. And that's what I love to hear. Absolutely.
I like that too. Very, very poignant success story, because if everyone in this community feels like the Mayburn is their museum, then we come together as a community in a better way, and it bridges those kind of maybe some barriers that have come up, and the museum can be a wonderful place to just come together and just be in awe of all the things that are in the museum while you're at camp.
Absolutely.
Well, you're not just a Waco entity. Visitors come from all over the country and maybe all over the world. Are you feeling a little of the Magnolia effect? Does that seem to bring more people into the museum?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my store staff tell me that more than anybody. They say people come in and say, well, we went to the Magnolia and now we're looking for other things to do and we heard about the Mayburn. So thank you, Chip and Joanna. Thank you for the Magnolia effect. And it's helping all the museums. I know the Dr. Pepper Museum right across the street has told me, Jack McKinney has told me, their attendance is out the roof. And people come over there and they see what's unique about Waco. And, hey, Dr. Pepper Museum's there. They'll go to the zoo. They'll come by the Ranger Museum or our museum at Sports Hall of Fame. It's helping all of us.
And tell me about any big exhibit you've got coming up you want to share.
Well, people will think I set you up with that question. I did not. You asked that to me. Two great exhibits coming in the next year. For the young kiddos in January, we're bringing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, wow.
It'll be the only stop in Texas. And it's using teamwork, because they're a team. So it's where young children learn about teamwork and how to overcome challenges together to achieve success. It's produced by the Indianapolis Children's Museum, which is the largest children's museum in the world. So it's coming here. We're excited. It'll be here in January. And then this time next year, we're bringing Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition, to Waco. It'll be one of the biggest exhibits ever to come. We're starting now to get ready for it because I think our attendance will go up at least 20%, and it could go up 40%. I hosted this exhibit in New Mexico, and our attendance did go up 40% over the run of that exhibition. But it's one of the stories of our world. I think everybody wants to know what it might have been like to be on that ship. Well, when they went down 12,000 feet and brought artifacts up, that low light condition, no oxygen, these artifacts are in pristine shape. They actually opened suitcases, excuse me, and the clothing was still there. Photographs were still there. So you walk into this exhibit, you get a boarding pass, you take on the role of a passenger who was really on the ship. You go through and learn what it was like to be on the ship that day and then learn what it was like that night. And then at the end of the exhibit, you learn, you can take your boarding pass up and see if you lived or didn't make it.
So one last question, Charles. What are some of the initiatives that you have coming up?
Well, we've been working on a strategic plan, and we worked with the community, a lot of focus groups. And a couple of the stronger points I'll mention. One is working more deeply in the community, like we mentioned already, with Prosper Waco, Waco ISD, some partnerships. And the second one I think is really important. It's how do we as a museum really extrovert all the amazing things and research that's going on at Baylor? So we have a program called Portal to the Public, and it's a program that was funded by the National Science Foundation, and it was all about how do you work with scientists that are really good with research, but then maybe not so good about communicating to the public. Well, museums, that's what we do. We take this research and put it in a format that works for the public. Often it's about engagement. How do you get somebody stopped and engaged? And a lot of times it might be through a simple hands-on activity that gets them thinking about it at a certain level. So we've been working with the campus, and we've had over 40 professors, postdocs, graduate students go through this Portal to the Public program we have, and they step on the floor and do and talk about their research with our visitors. So I think more and more, that's one of our big strategic pushes, is how do we let the community know about all the wonderful things that are going on at Baylor. So we'll be working with that over this next year.
I think you'll never have a shortage of people to participate in that program. The wide, wonderful people that they have at Baylor and their expertise, if you can share that with this community, that would be phenomenal.
Well, everything so far from sleep research to environmental science to just cognitive research, they've all come over and it's been wonderful to work with them.
Oh, I'm sure they've enjoyed just being in the museum too. Charles Walter, thank you for this opportunity to visit with you. I hope all our listeners will add the Mayburn Complex to their list of fun things to do this summer.
Thank you, Nan. I do too.
This interview was recorded July 5th, 2017 in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org under the Programs tab, Central Texas Leadership Series.